We hear again from John chapter 17. Jesus said, Father, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. In the name of Jesus. Where we are in the church year is that Jesus is ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. So we've been through Holy Week, where our Lord institutes the Lord's Supper for his church throughout the generations, and then he goes to the cross, and then on the third day after the crucifixion, he's been raised up from the dead. And then 3 days ago, the church celebrated the ascension of our Lord to heaven. In heaven, he is in conversation with his Father and the Holy Spirit. An ongoing conversation between the three persons of the Trinity. It has been this way since the beginning. Even the creation of the world, the creation of Adam and Eve, did not happen arbitrarily. Rather, God created out of this conversation between the three persons of the Godhead. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The us, in that phrase, let us make man in our image, male and female created he them. The us is the three voices, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are three unique persons, yet they are unity, one God. No division, no break between the three, oneness, unity. From their conversation with one another, they create. And then when creation falls into sin, when the man and the woman bring themselves into death, which is the opposite of creation, the conversation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit becomes the conversation of redemption, of grace and salvation. In this conversation, the Son intercedes to his Father, even with his own blood. The Father declares the sinner forgiven and innocent by virtue of his Son's blood. As a result of this conversation between the Father and the Son, the sinner on earth is justified. The Father and the Son then, from their conversation, send forth the Holy Spirit, so that in word and sacrament, here on earth, the Holy Spirit delivers the conversation of justification from the throne room in heaven to sinners, us, on earth. From their conversation, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit justify you and me. We are cleansed. We belong to life. Not by any words or decisions of our own, but by this conversation between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. On earth, the Holy Spirit is working through the means of word and sacrament to call and gather sinners then. That's you and me. To the location of the Holy Name. There at the Holy Name, there at the location of the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit is forgiving sin. He is cleansing our consciences. He's binding us together in oneness with our Lord Jesus. In binding us in oneness with Jesus, he is binding us also in oneness together with each other. So before he ascends to heaven, Jesus prays to his Father for us. By this prayer spoken here on earth, we are given to know what he is continuing to pray to his Father as he is enthroned, where he continues conversing with his Father and the Holy Spirit. In this conversation, Jesus faithfully continues to to intercede for us until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. John 17:20, Jesus said, Father, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. So what is this oneness, this unity that Jesus wants for us? Because we can get confused about it. And our world, after all, talks a lot about unity. Or at least our world talks about how it's bad not to have it, how it's bad to have division and conflict. How many times do we hear conversations about the problem in our country is that there's too much division? The political parties are working against each other. Everyone is on a different page, working for opposite goals. Nothing's moving forward. But then we notice that when our world wants unity, we find her trying often to have it by coercion. She tries to have unity by enforcing conformity. But unity and conformity are not the same thing. And Jesus doesn't pray to be conformed to his Father, but rather to be one with his Father. Conformity, after all, has to do with the outward form of things. It's in the Word. It has to do with the outward shape of things, with how they look. So you can get conformity by coercing things into the accepted forms. And this can be done even by simple things like having everyone dress in the acceptable way, or having everyone listen to the accepted music, or speak and hear only the approved words and phrases. If someone steps out of the approved forms, they are out of conformity. They will be ruled as being not acceptable, outside of the unity. So we can think of examples of how we see people trying to achieve unity here on earth. Even a criminal gang has an accepted dress code in gang signs, accepted language and phrases. Step outside of this and you will not be in the gang. Even the hippie movement, to harken back to days when I was a youth, in that movement everyone wanted to be considered part of the movement, and they were expected then to be in conformity. You had to have the right haircut, which means none at all. You had to wear dirty Levi jeans and say words like cool and groovy. And if you were caught listening to, say, Andy Williams or Doris Day instead of James Taylor or Joan Baez, you will not be part of the movement for long. Is this what Jesus is praying to his Father for when he prays for unity in the church? Is this unity that Jesus sees an outward conformity? Can it be established by maintaining some sort of coercion, like requiring everyone on the team to wear the right uniform? Or by intimidation, like a hippie looking over his shoulder, wondering if he will be excluded for listening to Doris Day? What does Jesus pray to his Father for when he prays for unity of the church? He is not praying for conformity. He is obviously not praying that the church all dresses the same or has the same haircuts or listens to the same music on Spotify. The church is the body of Christ. Into his church, he gathers tax collectors and thieves and drunks. He gathers carpenters and fishermen, military officers and farmers and sellers of purple. Into his church, he calls Jews and Greeks, those who speak Latin, those who speak Greek, those who speak Hebrew, or any language in between. Into his church, he calls sinners. And sinners do not all look alike. It's not about outward sameness. But the sinners in his church are one. They are in unity, even as he is in unity with his Father. And unity then does not mean conformity. It doesn't even mean sameness. A man and a woman are not and cannot be the same. You're either a man or a woman. It's a matter of creation. The man and the woman do not have sameness, yet they can have oneness. As our Lord says, the two become one flesh. This oneness, this unity of the two, is of course marriage. Neither the man nor the woman loses what they are or who they are, and the man doesn't become less man nor the woman less woman, yet the two are in oneness with each other. So the oneness is not about a loss of who you are, no diminishment of your specific gifts and particularities. Jesus places us in oneness with him and with each other, even as he is in oneness with his Father, yet he remains fully who he is, Son. What is this oneness then, if not the outward sameness and not a coerced conformity? He binds us in oneness in his word. It is a unity of word and doctrine. He is in oneness with his Father as he converses with his Father. And we can remember how he tells his apostles, "The words I speak are not mine, but the Father's who sent me." In this conversation with his Father is giving him gifts, and they are both bringing forth creation. As Jesus is in oneness with his Father, he then speaks those words to us. It is the speaking of the gospel. In that conversation of his gospel, he is forgiving our sin, cleansing our consciences, joining us in oneness with him and his Father. When he joins us in oneness with him and his Father, he is keeping us with all the particular specific gifts he gives to each of us, and he is joining us in oneness with each other. In our oneness with each other, he then gives us the words to speak to each other. He is in our conversation. He's giving us the words to encourage and comfort one another in the oneness so that his prayer to his Father is kept. In the name of Jesus, amen.